they were not able to easily detain the 9-year-old girl. It was 2 adults. It was a male officer and a female officer, and they had a body cam on, and they had trouble subduing a 9-year-old girl. She was kicking and screaming, and when they would try to contain her, she would fall on the ground. And at one point, they finally got her handcuffed, and they were having trouble getting her into the car. And at one point, one of the officers sprayed her with pepper spray. Well, of course, that went viral, and many people in the public were just extremely upset that 2 police officers handcuffed a 9-year-old girl and sprayed her with pepper spray. Of course, the way things are in society, the law enforcement individuals, they're the bad guys, and the 9-year-old girl, she's the saint. But what has happened is that this 9-year-old girl has already learned from a very early age, 9 years old, let that sink in, 9 years old, that I don't have to listen to authority. And I'm pretty certain that before that day happened, she's already established in the home who's boss. I'm pretty certain that that has already been established before that day even came. She's already learned that I don't have to listen to people in authority, mom and dad or police officers or anybody else. And it's causing a lot of trouble. This evening, I want to begin some lessons. We will look at them from time to time on Sunday evenings on probably one of the most important, if not the most important subject in our relationship with God, and that is Bible authority. It is absolutely paramount that our young people who are growing up learn the importance of Bible authority. And as we get down the road in a few weeks, we're going to actually look at nuts and bolts of how to actually determine that. Our young people, some of them are going off this year. They'll be in other places. I've already heard that they're looking for different local churches of Christ to worship with, and that's a great thing. How do you determine which local church of Christ is doing things by authority and which one is not? How do you determine that for yourself? When you grow up and get away from mom and dad and you're picking somewhere to worship, how do you determine that yourself? How do you know if the elders are doing things by authority? How do you know that? So we have to know the nuts and bolts of how to establish Bible authority. But we want to begin this evening with the foundational lesson and what is our source of religious authority. Who's in the driver's seat? Now you look at that 9-year-old girl, who's in the driver's seat in her house? Well, mom and dad probably would like to be in the driver's seat, but they're being challenged by their 9-year-old daughter. And I hope that she will change, but people like that who don't, they just end up in and out of juvie for several years, and then jail and prison later and so forth. It's fundamental. Now look at our scripture reading this evening in Isaiah chapter 52. This is actually the verse that Paul quotes in Romans chapter 10, where he talks about the importance of gospel preachers, and then later he makes that point about faith comes by hearing, but how can they hear without a preacher and so forth. Isaiah 52, look at verse 7. This is a beautiful thought. With regard to preaching, Isaiah mentions several things that are to be preached. How beautiful upon the mountain are the feet of him that bringeth good tidings. Number 1, good tidings. Number 2, that publishes peace. Number 3, that brings good tidings of good. Number 4, that publishes salvation. And then look at the very last one that needs to be preached. Good tidings, peace, good, salvation. And then make sure that you say this: your God reigns. Underscore that in your Bible. Your God reigns. That is the fundamental point of all of life. And when we get that one down, that God is in charge, that God is in the driver's seat, that He rules and reigns and His authority is over us. When we get that well in our mind, then things will go well for us. When we don't get that down right, then it's going to be a problem. Your God reigns. We need to preach that to high heaven. That's one of the fundamental problems today. We all recognize the need for authority in various aspects of our life, and I want our young people to recognize that. There is authority that has been delegated to parents in the home. We understand in a school setting with teachers and principals and the superintendent, the idea of authority. In businesses, there's the employee and the employer relationship. In society, we have law enforcement and things such as that. We understand the need for authority. But the question this evening and over the next few weeks is, what about in the matter of religion? And the answer is yes, there has to be authority there as well. And we have to know what that is and how to go about establishing that, because our own eternal salvation depends upon it. Of course, when we talk about authority, we mean a person who has the right or the power to do something lawfully, to enforce something, to make a law, and then to enforce that law when it is broken. Who has the proper power and right to do that in all of these relationships? Without authority, without law, and by the way, law is as only good as it's going to be enforced. And that's true in the local church. It's true in society, and it's true in the local church. You can have the law of Christ, but in a local church, that is only as good as the elders are going to enforce it. And in society, you can have a constitution, and you can have all that, but it's only as good as the people who are going to enforce it. So you can have these arrangements, but it's only as good as the individuals who are going to exercise their authority and actually enforce that, whether it's in the home or some other place. But who has that right and power over us in the realm of religion? It's God, as we're going to see today. Authority really is the root issue of all religious issues. Who is going to tell me how to live my life? You might recall in Numbers chapter 15, verses 39 and 40, that Moses talked to the Israelites about making fringes or borders on their garments to remind them to hear the law and to keep the law and to do the law. And Moses says that if you don't do that, you're going to go off after strange gods and you're going to fall away. It's important that you always keep the word of God. In Jeremiah chapter 6, verses 15 and following, seek out the old paths. And then you come on down to verse 19. There are those who don't want God's word. They want to go their own way. This is a fundamental issue, and it has always been the case going back to Adam and Eve. With regard to Adam and Eve, am I going to listen to the authority of God who said, do not eat of that tree, or am I going to listen to the devil? It's always been that. Now, some people take the approach of no authority at all. And other people, as we're going to see later in the lesson, say, well, we need authority, but it's the wrong authority. It's not God and His Word. And as we're seeing in our society round about us, and the 9-year-old story is just a microcosm of a bigger picture of a lack of authority which brings disorder and chaos and problems and anarchy and rebellion. And we understand the need for authority in our lives. We looked at that Judges passage, Judges 21, verse 25. We made reference to that this morning. Every man is doing that which is right in his own eyes. And that's what we're seeing a lot in our nation today. And we're also seeing it in the realm of religion. You just get to do whatever you want. Well, that's a problem. This evening, the Super Bowl is going on. And that game has rules. You can't have that game without rules. There are rules. There are people who enforce those rules. We call them referees. There's certain distances and certain measurements and certain rules that you have to follow. And then there are people who enforce those rules. We understand that in sports. We understand that in business with regards to weights and measures and lengths. And if we try to decide how long something is and we can't really decide that, then what do? We pull out a tape measure, a ruler, and that settles the matter. We do these things in our life, and we understand the importance of these things in our life, and we need to understand it in the area of religion. We need to be like the centurion in Matthew chapter 8 and verse 9, whose servant needed to be healed, and he came to Jesus for that. He said, "I am a man under authority, and I have those who are under me." And he recognized that Jesus had the authority just simply to say something, and that servant would be healed. And Jesus says later to him, "Great is thy faith." One thing that made his faith great was he recognized the importance of Jesus' authority. We need to be like that. There is one lawgiver. James 4:12, there's one lawgiver. And that one lawgiver, Jesus Christ, has the authority over our lives. And we're going to see in just a minute what gives Him and His Father, God the Father, that authority. But there's one. One person is in the driver's seat. Or at least that's the way it should be in our life. And because God is our Creator, ultimately, He has all authority. We didn't create the universe. God did. Genesis 1, verse 1. You know, when we read "in the beginning," we think of time and things that were made. But "in the beginning" also is a lesson that God is in charge. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And in that statement is more than just the creation of physical things. It is that God is in charge. All things have been made through Him. And in Romans chapter 13 and verse 1, because God is in charge, He can delegate His authority to humans. And so He's done that to civil government. He has delegated authority to the husband in the home to be the head of the wife. And elders have authority that's been delegated to them. And we're going to talk more about Jesus delegating authority to the apostles. But ultimately, He is in the driver's seat. Now turn with me to Matthew chapter 21. You recall when Jesus was teaching in the temple the last week of His ministry before going to the cross. He is doing things in the temple, cleansing the temple and preaching and teaching, and the Pharisees and others, the Sadducees who claim to control the temple, they want to know why that Jesus can come in and say and do these things. So verse 23, Matthew 21, "And when He had come into the temple, the chief priests and the elders of the people came unto Him as He was teaching and said, 'By what authority do You do these things? And who gave Thee this authority?'" Look at that statement there and break it down and look at the PowerPoint here for just a moment. There are three very important lessons that are made in just that short statement. First of all, the scribes and Pharisees recognize that you need to have some authority. You can't just waltz in here into this environment, into the temple, and just say and do whatever you want. By what authority? Number one, there has to be authority. We need authority for what we do. Number two, that authority can come from different sources, and it has to come from the right source. Who gave you this authority? Who? That's a person. And it speaks to source. And then number three, they recognize that there is a difference in authority. By what authority do you do these things, and who gave thee this authority? And Jesus answered and said unto them, I will also ask you one question, which if you tell me, I likewise will tell you by what authority I do these things. The baptism of John, whence was it, from heaven or from men? So now we add in Jesus' statement to the equation, and we have a third principle, and that is that there's a difference in authority. It can either come from heaven or from men. And so, as we go through life, and we're living our religious life, and our young people are out on their own, and they're trying to decide, which Church of Christ am I going to be with, and am I going to place membership here or there, how am I going to live my personal life? Number one, I need to ask the question, I've got to have authority. Number two, where is this authority coming from? And number three, is it men saying this, or is it God saying this? Is it coming from men or from heaven? These are three important principles that come from this text. And as our lessons unfold, beginning this evening, we're going to see that that authority needs to come, of course, from heaven. Jesus said, the baptism of John, is it from heaven or from men? If authority is from heaven, and it is, then it's going to be revealed to us in Scripture. If it's coming from men, then it's just simply going to be the human wisdom of men. Their think-so's what they think or feel. Now, if it's coming from Scripture, you hold in your hands this evening a Bible that has 66 books in it. 39 books of the Old Testament, 27 books of the New Testament. Where do we open in that book? From Genesis to Revelation, where do we open in that book to get our authority? Well, we have an Old Testament and a New Testament. Well, when we read in our New Testament some things that the Apostle Paul has mentioned, we know, for example, in Romans 7 and Galatians 3, Colossians 2, Hebrews 10, that the old law has been done away. Hebrews 10:9, He taketh away the first that He may establish the second. We're not under the old law. So we have our Bible, and there are some people that turn to various things in the Old Testament today. They might turn there for the Sabbath day, or they might turn there for instrumental music, or they might turn there for tithing. But they're going to a Testament that has been done away. We're not under that law. We're under the law of Christ. Now, we don't tear the Old Testament out of our Bible. There are passages like Romans 15 and 1 Corinthians 10 that tell us that these things that are written aforetime were written for our learning. We go back and learn from the stories and different things like that. But we're not under that law. We're under the New Testament. A new covenant has been prophesied, Jeremiah 31, 31. We're under the law of Christ, Galatians 6, 2. The old law was nailed to the cross, Colossians 2, 14, and we're under this new law. It's how God speaks to us today through His Son, Hebrews 1, 1 and 2. So when we're looking today for, well, I want my authority from heaven. Okay, we have to narrow that down and make sure that we're in the right place in the Word of God, and that's the New Testament. Now, if we're looking at men, boy, we couldn't even begin to talk tonight about all the places where you can go to get man-made authority. Human creeds, someone who claims to be a prophet like Muhammad or Joseph Smith, and some head or some council in a religious body, you could just, anybody could self-proclaim church leader, preacher. What the majority says, the results. Some people will do things based upon certain results that they can get. Well, that's all human wisdom. We need to be getting our authority from heaven, from New Testament Scripture. It is not in man that walks to direct his own steps, Jeremiah 10:23. We don't go by human tradition, Matthew chapter 15. We're not going to be taken in by human philosophy, Colossians chapter 2 and verse 8. We're not going to go by someone who wants to preach another gospel, Galatians 1, 6 through 9. We want our authority from heaven, not from men. And we want to get that from the New Testament. So, authority does not come from men, it comes from heaven. Now, God, because He is the creator of all things, He's in the driver's seat. Even the head of Christ is God. 1 Corinthians 11:3. He's made all things. And God delegated authority to Jesus Christ. You remember Jesus said, "All authority hath been given me." So His Father gave Him that. And Christ shared His word through the Holy Spirit. Do you remember Jesus said in John 16:12-14, that He, the Holy Spirit, will take of mine and declare it unto you. Even the Holy Spirit got His word from Christ. And so Christ gives His word to the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit gives those words, guides the apostles into all the truth. That's why in the book of Acts and other places, the apostles have the authority that had been delegated to them to preach and to work miracles. They didn't just go do that willy-nilly on their own. They didn't just say, "Hey guys, let's just start saying and doing some stuff." No, they were commissioned and given authority to work miracles and to preach the Word of God. And when somebody said, "What must I do?" and Peter said, "Repent and be baptized," was that his opinion? Was he giving his own personal authority in that? No, he said that through the authority of Christ. They couldn't just go out and say and do whatever they wanted. So it was given to them by the Holy Spirit, who had gotten His word from Christ, who had gotten it from God. And when those apostles went out and preached and taught, that was recorded in what we call the New Testament. That's why when we open our New Testament to get our authority for what we do today, it's coming all the way from God. And today, we must do all things in the name of the Lord, Colossians 3:17. Look at the chain here. Look at the chain of revelation. When we say to someone today, we have to have book, chapter, and verse for what we do. That's because it's the New Testament. And that New Testament was written by the apostles, who were guided by the Holy Spirit, who got His word from Christ, who got His word from God. It's a direct chain of authority. And that's what we must go by today. You know, authority can come about in three different ways. It could originate inherently in you, and that's God. Because He's the creator of the universe, nobody gave Him anything. He is that. That's why I like Isaiah 52:7. When you're out preaching about good tidings and peace and salvation, make sure that you include this point. Your God reigns. It originates in Him. It's inherent in Him. A second way that you can get authority is if somebody delegates it to you. I give you permission. We talk about being in the driver's seat. One time, authority was delegated to me. Keys to a car were handed to me. I didn't have that authority to drive that car prior to that, but it was given to me. It was a yellow Lamborghini. That was interesting. That was fun. I'll let you drive my car, but it was delegated to me. It was given to me. That's what you have in the case of the apostles and in the case of Jesus Christ. Authority has to be given by God. And if that hasn't been given, then I don't have authority. And then the third way, and this is very popular today, and this is the area that we want to avoid. People have authority when they assume they have authority. And they actually don't. We go to the New Testament for our authority. We don't assume anything. And nothing has been delegated to us with regard to revealing the Word of God. There have been some things that have been delegated. There have been some authority that's been delegated to the husband, as I mentioned earlier, to the elders, things such as that. But none of us have been delegated authority to reveal the Word of God. That has already been revealed by the apostles and recorded completely in the New Testament. And so this evening, God is in the driver's seat. God is the ultimate authority in religious matters because He's the creator of all. And in these passages, even in Nehemiah chapter 9, when Nehemiah, they come back, they've rebuilt the walls, and they have had this great religious service in reading the law of Moses in Nehemiah chapter 8, when there's the confession of sin and the calling people back to God's Word. It starts in Nehemiah 9:6 with, "You are the maker of all things." It goes back to the fact, Psalm 146:6, "You have made all things." And that puts God in the driver's seat. And He's expressed that word to mankind. In the Old Testament, He did that through the prophets. Turn with me to 2 Chronicles chapter 24. God, over and over again, called to His people to do His will. Some chose to do it, some did not. But He raised up prophets over and over again. And this is the well-known passage where I sent them early, rising up early and so forth. 2 Chronicles 24:19. God is trying to get His people to follow His will. Yet He sent prophets to them to bring them again unto Jehovah, and they testified against them, but they would not give ear. Chapter 36, verse 16. 2 Chronicles 36, 16. "But they mocked the messengers of God and despised His words and scoffed at His prophets until the wrath of Jehovah rose against His people till there was no remedy." God is trying to reveal Himself. Some of them wanted it, some of them did not. In the New Testament, He's continuing to reveal His Word. And in this case, the apostles are added into it. Remember, the church is built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Christ Jesus being the chief cornerstone. God is revealing His authority, and it's being recorded on the pages of the New Testament. And when you look at those apostles, you find that they have a lot that they have been given authority to do. Let's look at that. When you look at what the apostles are allowed to do, it's amazing. Number one, Jesus gave them binding and loosing authority. That means to bind something, it has to be this way. To loose something, I will allow this. Jesus said to Peter and the other apostles in Matthew 16 and again in Matthew 18, "I'm going to give you the keys to the kingdom. What you bind will have been bound in heaven. What you loose will have been loosed in heaven." That's a lot of power. Binding and loosing authority. They also had the power to judge individuals. In Matthew 19:28, they would sit on thrones, not literally, but figuratively in having authority. They would sit on thrones judging the 12 tribes of Israel. That's a lot of power. They had the power to reveal the truth of the Word of God. John 14:26 and John 15, John 16, when they were guided into all the truth, they would turn around and reveal truth. They had the authority to go into all the world and preach the gospel. They had the authority, and only they had the authority, to represent Jesus Christ. Paul says that we apostles, are ambassadors. You know, an ambassador of the United States to another country, they have been delegated authority to speak on behalf of the State Department. Not anybody can be an ambassador. We can't just get on a plane and go to some country and say, "The United States wants y'all to do such and such." We can't do that. An ambassador has to be given authority to represent someone. And the apostles have that authority. These are things that have been delegated to them. And that's why our authority comes from the apostles. It has been delegated to them from Christ to do these things. That's why we turn to the words of the apostles for our authority today. And when they speak and when they write, it is the very word of God. When they were speaking, even before it was written down, 1 Thessalonians 2:13, when they were just speaking, it was the Word of God. When it was written down, it was the Word of God. The things that I write are the commandments of the Lord, 1 Corinthians 14:37. The spoken Word and the written Word become the final Word. And so we have all there is. And these passages there show that we have all there is that God wants us to know. Authority from the New Testament apostles is for us today. And it's critical to get that point in our mind. And when we reject the apostles, we reject Christ Himself. Do you remember when Jesus on different occasions would send individuals out? Luke 10:16, John 13:20. When they reject you, they reject me. Somebody says, well, I read the verse there, preacher, but I don't agree with that. I don't agree with what Paul's saying there or what Peter's saying. When I reject the apostles, we reject Jesus Himself. Because they have been, and they only have been, given authority to represent Him. So let's accept what the apostles say. Authority. Now, we've looked this evening at authority from heaven. I want to close a little bit before we finish. I want to make a few closing remarks with regard to this authority from heaven or from men. We've made the point that because God is creator of all, Jesus is King of kings and Lord of lords, the Holy Spirit is revealing the Word of God, the apostles have been delegated, have been given that delegated authority to reveal Christ's authority. They are in the driver's seat, not me. And I need to have authority from heaven, not from men. But today, much of the religious world is a situation where their authority is from men. Let's look at a few areas where that happens. First of all, self, just what I want, what I think, and what I feel. That is very prevalent in religion today. I just feel. I just feel in my heart. It's very popular. But we know that it is not in man that walks to direct his own steps. Sometimes it's the desires of a group, what a group wants. And so a group will want a certain thing, and they'll go to the leadership, and they'll say, we would like such and such, and the leadership says, okay, we'll give you that. Didn't that happen to Aaron, right, in the golden calf? Give us a golden calf, okay. Bring me your jewelry and stuff, and we'll mix it together, and out pops a golden calf. The people made me do it. A lot of times it's what people want. In the days of Samuel, God's people said, give us a king. We want a king. Samuel said, you don't want that. That's not what you want. He's going to rule hard over you. No, we want a king. Okay. God gave them one and they saw what that really brought about. When Saul was told to utterly destroy the Amalekites, the people said that they wanted to spare the best of the sheep and flocks so that we could offer that up to God. The people wanted that. So, a lot of times you have a situation where a congregation, and I don't mean a local congregation per se, obviously it can be that, but just any group of people that want certain things, a lot of times they get what they want. Especially if the leadership is not strong enough to say no. Results. This is very common. Turn with me to 2 Samuel. A lot of times people will do things and they'll test it out. And if they're getting good results, they don't ask, do they have Bible authority or not? And even brethren will do these things. If the results are positive and good and we're bringing in people with it, that's all that matters. Results. Don't ask me for book, chapter, and verse. Don't ask me for Bible authority. Look at the crowds. Look at what we're doing. Look at the results. Look at the young people and so forth. No, results are not Bible authority. That's what Uzzah was thinking when he touched the ark. He's thinking results. He's thinking, I got to keep this ark from falling over. First of all, they're putting it on a new cart. That was not authorized. But you can even see that. You know, you put something on a cart, you can move it along pretty good. The results would be I could move the cart along pretty good and move the ark of God. You know, otherwise you'd have to, the Levites would have to carry it on their shoulders, and sometimes that's hard to do and it's rough grounds. Let's put it on a cart. Right there you can see the idea of results. But us is one of the drivers. And when it's going along there, and the oxen stumble, and that cart, that Ark of the Covenant's going to fall over, he puts his hand up there. Why? For results. I want to keep it from falling. And he's struck dead for touching the Ark. Because you're not supposed to do that. You don't have authority to do that. Results. We hear that all the time today. But that's not how Bible authority is derived. The religious writings and the creeds of men. Well, you know, church scholars have written this and church authorities have written that. Jesus rebuked that in Matthew 15, all of their traditions. And human philosophy, Colossians 2:8, it doesn't matter what man has written down. That's from men. That's not from heaven. Even leaders in a church can go astray. Do you remember Acts chapter 20? And when Paul is talking to the elders at Ephesus, well, surely godly elders could never take a church off, you know, down the wrong path. Godly elders could never do anything wrong. No. In Acts chapter 20, verses 29 and 30, from among your own selves men shall arise speaking perverse things. Some in church history who have claimed to be godly men, religious men, they have gone off and done perverse things. They have spoken perverse things. They have drawn people away. Preachers, false teachers. There were a number of them mentioned in the New Testament. And we still have that today. Well, surely brother so-and-so wouldn't mislead us. It's still from men, and that includes me. If I ever say anything that is not the authority from heaven, then it's the authority from me, and it should be completely rejected. And I'm sure it would be in this crowd. But we have all kinds of false teachers and that type of thing, even in the New Testament. We don't listen to that. That's why in 1 John 4:1, John says you need to test that. The writings of men. Paul talks about, do not be moved, whether by word or epistle, as from us. Even if somebody's writing something, they claim that it's apostolic when it's not, that's not our authority. Religious leaders today, like the Pope or the president of the Mormon Church, it doesn't matter. There are individuals, 1 Timothy 4:3, who will stand up, they will command not to eat meat, they will command not to get married, and some people will listen to that. Misguided church members. In James chapter 2, if you'll turn with me there, you know, sometimes church members, they think that they have what's in the best interest of everyone. They've got ideas in their minds, but that's not Bible authority. These individuals in this particular congregation were having regard for some members but not other members. If you were a wealthy member and you dressed really well, you get to sit over here with us. But if you're a poor member, then you need to stand over there. And obviously that's not right. But that's what they had going on. And James corrected that. They're misguided. It could be a guy. I'm in charge here. I'm in the driver's seat here at Warfield Boulevard. Could be a Diotrephes type of individual. A strong-willed individual. 3 John 9. Self-proclaimed. He loves to have the preeminence. God didn't give him that. He took that on for himself. Remember earlier that chart?
authority can originate in you. That's God. It could be delegated to you. That's Christ and His apostles and so forth. Or it could be assumed. That's Diotrephes. I'm just going to take this on myself. I'm the one in charge. I voted and I put myself in charge. That happens.
That's not our authority either. God is in the driver's seat, and that's how we want to close this evening. Our authority for religious matters, and in Lord willing, in the weeks to come, we will look at some details on exactly how to do that. We're going to get to exactly how to determine that. At this point, we're in a very general, foundational lesson, and that's where we want to begin. But we'll get to the specifics of how to get down to the details of determining Bible authority, Lord willing. But we have to learn this evening that God is in the driver's seat. And anything we do, whatsoever we do, needs to be done by the authority of Christ. He has all authority. God is our Creator, and Jesus is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. We must listen to Him. All of these passages deal with Christ. Listening to Him, His authority. He's the head of the church. He has the preeminence, Colossians 1:18, and so forth. And I know that everyone here wants that. And if we can help our friends and neighbors to see the same thing, God directs our life. He's in the driver's seat. When Roger and I go and talk with other individuals, that's one thing that he likes to do in talking with people, is to start right here, that God has authority. And when you can be on the same page with that point, then everything moves forward from that in a good way. But if you can't agree on that, then it's very difficult to study with anybody. God is in the driver's seat. Well, we're going to stand in just a moment and sing a song of encouragement. One way that you can show that God is directing your life is to come and obey His Son, Jesus Christ, this evening, or if you need to come back in some way. What we're seeing is, in our society, we're seeing an approach that I don't need authority in my life. And it's happening at 9 years old. Our society, if it doesn't get a hold of itself real quick, we're going to have major, major problems. It starts with authority in the home and respect for that in the home. And then the young person, when they do go out to school and when they do go to work and when they just want to function as a law-abiding citizen, they've already learned that there is authority. And I respect that. And then when it comes time for them to grow up a little bit and decide, do I want God in my life or not? They say, yes, I do. I've learned the importance of having authority. Because you know what authority does? Authority keeps my life organized and controlled and beneficial and blessed. That's what authority does. It allows me to go through life in a blessed and beneficial way, rather than this chaotic, out-of-control war zone. So, you know, I do want God in my life. You see, that's the importance of that, to establish that early on. I want authority in my life, because that's what gives me the blessed and beneficial life all the way to the end. There may be someone here this evening that we can help to respond to the gospel. But let's go out this week understanding, ultimately, one way or the other, God is in the driver's seat. We're in the passenger seat. And we're going to live like that each and every day. If we can help you to respond to the gospel, why won't you come as we stand and as we sing?